going to spend about 15 minutes working on the Herod family, four generations. And then we're going to spend about 15 minutes in the exit exam. So you may want to kind of look around because you're going to be working in teams. You're going to have an open Bible and an open portfolio and hopefully an open mind to answer well. And then we'll take the last 15 minutes and we'll share our answers together. Okay? It's going to be a rather rugged exam, but I'm confident that you guys are well prepared, and we'll try to make sure we team you up with somebody else who will be helpful, and the younger guys will have some older guys helping them. And so let's start out in prayer, okay? Our Father, we thank you for our opportunities this week that you provided for us to be together, to grow together, to share together, to see you more clearly, to see the wonderful plan of redemption that you designed before the foundation of the world, that at just the right time, you would bring your son, born of a woman, but born under the law, that he might come to rescue us. Thank you for that redemption and for the salvation that he has brought by your grace. Father, I pray for Ben Hardy and for Braden Roth. Please bless these young men with courage and faith. Please be with Caleb Gwynn and Clay Johnson. We're so excited to see their growth in Christ, and we're so encouraged by their faith. Please be with Daniel McConaughey and Elijah Roberts. Bless them both. Thank you for their encouragement and their kind words. We ask you to be with Ethan Hodge and Ethan Maxey. Help them both to continue to grow up into the image of Christ. Please be with Gabe Reynolds and Jack Dryden. Bless both of them as they continue to grow and as they develop their independence. Please be with Joe Hardy and Joshua Balsamo. Be with them as they mature and as they are determined to be pure men that belong to you. Please be with Joshua Hodge and Lee Reich. Father, we're thankful to see the young and the older growing and developing to step up in responsibility and to be more mature and committed. Please be with Lucas Mayberry and Luke Eaton and Luke Norfleet and Luke Smelser. Father, we're thankful for all these Lukes who, as the great physician who worked as a historian and helped Paul so much, may these young men continue to be your servants. And may they come to you completely. Please be with Matthias Mitchell and Peyton Roth. Bless each one. Bless their families. Bless us all with safety, but more importantly, with courage and faith. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, one more time. Our periods of Bible history.
Pre-flood.
The flood.
Scattering people. The patriarchs. The Exodus. Wandering in the wilderness. Combination and conquest of land. Judges. United kingdom. Divided kingdom. Judah alone. Captivity. Return from captivity. Years of silence. Life of Christ, early church, letters to Christians.
Excellent. Very good. Now you guys are going to teach that to your little cousins, your nephews, your little brothers and sisters, and all the kids at church. All right? Got it?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. All right. The Herods. The Herods are of what ethnicity? Are they Jews?
Nope. No.
No. Not Jews? So what are they?
Rome.
Are they Romans? Anybody know? All right, that's close. They're not Samaritans, but they live across from the Dead Sea.
I almost likely regret saying this, and I almost said it just as a joke, but now nobody's gotten it yet. Herodians?
Well, yeah. No, not quite. That's a title.
Okay.
Who are the enemies of God's people that aren't allowed in the temple for like 10 generations because of their meanness? And they might have had a great-great-great-great-grandfather who didn't get along with his brother Jacob.
Not
the Philistines. On the other side.
Edomites.
Edomites. That's okay, Clay. We all miss them once in a while. I know you're not used to that. All right. So the Edomites, and the Greeks called them the Idu or the Idumeans. You're going to toast and roast for a little bit. If you need to move, feel free, but appreciate you toughing it up. All right, so the Idumeans is the new name for the Edomites, just like the Jews are now called the Judeans, all right? And the Herods are Edomites, but there are some of them who have been positioning themselves within the Roman Empire to have points of influence. Some people are just at the right place at the right time. And Herod the Great has a dad named Antipater, and he's a good administrator. He is kind of over Judea as the Romans are giving him power, and so he knows a lot about Judaism. And he becomes an administrator over the Jewish people in Palestine. But he has a son who's not a nice guy. What's his name? And we really don't have a name for him as much as we have a title for him.
Herod the Great.
So we're going to look at four generations. I guess Antipater makes it five. But we're going to look at four generations of Herods, especially focusing on three of those. Tell me where you would read about this man who is on the scene at just the right time when Jesus comes into the world. You got four choices. You only miss it three times. Go ahead, Ben.
The Matthew.
Very good. All right, the Matthew. Now somebody else tell me the chapter.
Chapter 2.
So let's get started because you guys are going to be working through about four different passages. So Matthew 2, let me know every place you see something about Herod in Matthew chapter 2.
Verse 7.
Okay. Can we back up a little bit? All right. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of
Herod the king.
So the Romans have made him a magistrate who has gotten a title from the emperor as Herod the king. And who's coming to Jerusalem because they're looking for the Messiah?
The wise men.
They're coming. And who are they going to go to say, hey, we know there's a new king that's been born. We've seen his star in the east. So we're coming to you, king, to find out where the new king is born.
Herod.
Is that a good thing? How does King Herod feel about that? By the way, he's an old, crusty man. How does he feel about a new king? Well, let me tell you, what does he do whenever he thinks one of his sons is disloyal, that they're not faithful to him as the king?
Kills him.
Kills three of his sons. His favorite wife, what do you think he does when she seems to be just slightly disloyal to him? Kills her. And what do you think he does to Jewish babies if he thinks somebody might be trying to trump his crown? Kills them. So the operative word with the Herods is kills them. Okay? That's what you're going to see over and over. And so here is a man who is a maniac, and he's about to die, and he's going to die right around 4... Do I say B.C., A.D., what do I do date-wise?
B.C.
Okay, all right, and so we're having to think about that. So if Herod is, if let's just say, if Herod dies in 4 B.C., is Jesus alive when Herod dies?
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 2. Is Jesus alive when Herod dies?
Yes, he is.
And so Jesus has been born in Bethlehem of Judea, and Herod's still alive. So, yeah, that's right. What does that tell you about the idea of the zero dating plan, that Jesus was born at zero? It's off a little, all right? And someone asked me for more information. In the History and Geography of the Bible Story by Bob and Sandra Waldron, there's a chapter on dating in the early... Not live dating. All right, not girl dating. Dating in chronological events. And so that'd be really helpful for you because the guy tried to get it so that everything would start at zero, but he didn't quite get it exactly right. All right? So, I'll quit being like that. All right, you can take it. I know you're tough. All right? Good. And so as we think about that, Jesus is born while Herod's still alive, but not long after Jesus is born, Herod dies. So can you think of another Herod who's going to take his place, who's not going to be very nice either? In fact, when Joseph and Mary start to go back home, they don't stay in Judea because who's running things?
Archelaus.
Yeah, I think it's maybe like Archelaus or something like that. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. There's the son of Herod, and God's telling them, you don't want to stay here. And so they're going to move up to Galilee, And which son then of Herod is going to be ruler over Galilee? Okay, you're probably going to need to move from Matthew 2 to another chapter in Matthew. Or you could go to Mark 6, or you could go to Luke. But since we're kind of running in Matthew right now, we'll just stay there. So who would be the ruler, the governor, the magistrate, the tetrarch up in Galilee? Herod. You see, the frustrating thing as you're reading the Bible is, okay, so Herod's mean, he's king, he tried to kill Jesus, killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem, and then Herod's up in Galilee, and Herod's wanting to see Jesus, and then Herod's after Paul. The problem is, that's a family title, that's not a name, really, after Herod the Great. So we've got Antipas, Herod Antipas, and I've got a chart here if you guys want to kind of practice that later. Herod Antipas is the tetrarch in Galilee, and tell me about John's cousin who's been doing some good teaching up there in the region. How does it go for him in Matthew 14? Who's the cousin?
Jesus' cousin.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Tie that back. We can get pronoun. Jesus' cousin. How's it go for Jesus' cousin? Thank you, Ben.
He's put in prison.
No, heads roll. Okay. All right, he gets put in prison for what reason?
He told Philip that he couldn't have his brother's wife.
Okay.
Or he couldn't have Philip, his brother's
wife. There you
wife.
Go. You got it. All right, so we got another Herod named Philip. And Philip has been disinherited by the family. But he's living in Jerusalem with his wife named Herodias. Boy, doesn't you love it? You know, you can't even get the girls with a name. All right, so Herodias and Philip are husband and wife, legitimately. But who comes down to visit cousin Philip and decides to take his wife home with him? Antipas does. And so Antipas takes Herodias home with him, and who says? God is not pleased with that.
John the Baptist.
It is not lawful for you to have, or for you to have, Mark says, married your brother Philip's wife. So who do you think is mad about that?
Philip.
Okay. Well, Philip's, you'd hope Philip's mad about it. That's right. Okay, who else?
Herodias
is really ticked off about it. And who else, according to Matthew's account, is really not very happy with John?
Antipas.
What does Antipas want to do to John?
Kill him.
What's it say? It said, I want to kill him. But as Seth pointed out, Seth Kemple, in our earlier class, when you read Mark 6's account, it sounds like Herod's not as mad at John as Herodias is, because he actually seems to want to kind of keep John alive for some reason, kind of think of Paul in prison. And he wants to keep John alive, but what's Herod do? Is it a party?
Party.
Big birthday party. Boy, yeah, I hope the singing was better than this morning. But anyway, so there's a birthday party. And who decides to turn on all the guys who are in the audience?
Herodias' daughter,
Salome. And do you think she was just kind of doing a cute little square dance with her long skirt and just twirling a little bit? Do you think that's the kind of dancing she was doing?
No, bad dancing.
Yeah, bad dancing. Very dirty dancing. And please be advised that practically every time a woman dances like that, men lose their head. Okay, so now everybody's turned on and everybody's cockadoodle crowing, and Herod's saying, well, I'll just give you up to half my kingdom. Well, that sounds great. Half my kingdom. So you expect, boy, the girl's going to get millions. But she goes back to talk to Mom. Hey, Mom, what do we want? And her mother is so wicked, so villainous. What does she want more than half of Herod's kingdom?
John's head.
That bitterness, that envy, that wickedness is so deep that all she can think about is revenge and making that preacher pay. And so what happens to John's head? It rolls. That's right. Because Herod has shot off his mouth. He's got all these dinner guests. He really doesn't want to kill John. But what's it going to look like to his buds after he's bragged about all this? You see all those dangers? Bad places. Nightclubs are at. There's no place for God's men in a nightclub where Salome is dancing. So, John's dead, and Jesus is really sad. In fact, Jesus is going to try to go and get away for a little while and rest, John chapter 6. But the crowds won't let him. But what's Jesus thinking about? Man, they just killed John. Okay, they just killed John. He's my cousin. Antipas is the ruler where I live.
Coming after me next.
That's exactly it. He's coming after me next. And so Jesus is going to move over to Perea for a little while in the next 6 months, but he knows the time is coming. Antipas is on him. So Antipas is really wanting to see Jesus. Maybe he can do a miracle. Maybe he can perform something. Where would you read that in the book of Luke, where you see Antipas at the time when Jesus is about to be executed? Good. Luke chapter 23. What's the verse? Luke chapter 23. Or verses?
6 through 16.
Good. All right. Luke chapter 23, about verses 6 through 16. Very good. And give me some background. What's the feast that brings Antipas down to Jerusalem?
Passover.
Passover. And Pilate's got a bad situation with his hands. He knows that for envy the Jews have delivered Jesus up. He knows that Jesus is innocent. He knows that the Jewish people love Jesus, but he knows that the Jewish leaders want to kill him. He knows all that. So he's already in a heap of trouble. There's already been 7 governors in the last few years as a procurator in Judea. And so now Pilate's in a hot spot. He doesn't know what to do. Who might be a scapegoat to make the decision for him?
Herod.
Why would Herod be a good choice to dump Jesus on Herod?
He hated him.
Pardon?
Actually, I was thinking the wrong thing.
That's okay. They do hate each other. They don't like each other at all, but that's going to change. But who's in charge of Galilee?
Herod.
This is the perfect pass off to the Idumean puppet king, and let him, as a tetrarch, take care of the responsibility of somebody in his territory. But what does Herod and his crew do to Jesus?
They mock him.
Yeah, they rough him up, mock him, scorn him, put a fancy robe on him, send him back to Pilate. And what does your text tell you there in Luke chapter 23? Before that, Antipas and Pilate were
not good friends.
They were not good friends. But this idea to be able to make fun of this Jewish peasant from Galilee kind of brings them both some sport that they enjoy. They become friends, but Pilate's still got a situation on his hands. So what is Pilate going to do to try to deal with this? This man is innocent, so I'm going to what am I? Wash my hands of the matter. We still say those terms, all right? And so we've got Antipas, and he's mean, and he's killed John, and he's an adulterer. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe the next generation of Herods will do better. Where would we go next to look at the next generation of Herods? In the book of Acts chapter... Think about people dying. Think about killings. Okay? Not chapter 2, but there is a 2
Acts
in the chapter.
7, 23. Acts 7.
Okay, so there's a 2 in the chapter, and it's not chapter 2.
12.
Good, all right. So in chapter 12, you're going to meet another Herod, and his name is Agrippa, number 1. Herod Agrippa, number 1. And who's he decide to kill?
James.
James who?
Brother John.
Yeah, lots of James in the Bible. So James, the brother John, James, son of Zebedee. And so here's this leading apostle, and Herod says, boy, we'll make the Jews happy. I'll kill James. And it makes the Jews so happy, what does he decide to do? I'll grab whom?
Peter.
I'll grab Peter, and we'll kill Peter too. And so we'll just make everybody happy here, and we'll just start killing all these Christians. James dies, Peter's in prison, and what happens?
An angel gets him out.
That's right. There's a prayer meeting at Mary's house. That makes a difference. There's a prayer meeting at Mary's house, and the angel of the Lord comes and rescues Peter, and Peter goes to Mary's house, and they won't let him in. Not at least not at first. And so Peter is rescued at this time, but what's Herod Agrippa good at?
Boasting.
Killing. Ah, yeah, now you're going on in the chapter. So he's also one of these roosters who likes to crow, and some people try to butter him up, flatter him, trying to get him to choke down what they're telling him. He's got this dazzling robe on, and these people who are in trouble with him tell him, oh, it must be the voice of a god. He says, you're right. And then what happens? He dies. Bad dies. What happens to him? He's eaten by
worms.
He had a bad tummy ache. All right, and Josephus confirms this historically. And guess who else, just a 150 years earlier, also was thought he was a god. He thought he was Zeus. He was the Greek power that came down and turned the lights out in the temple. Antiochus or Antiochus, number... Yeah, Antiochus Epiphanes. He thought he was the great god. And I had not remembered this. If you're reading 2 Maccabees, you'll read that God did the same thing to him, or he developed a bad tummy ache and died really fast too. He died a terrible death. So what would this be telling the Christians when Herod Agrippa dies in this way? Is God going to deal with the people who are making their lives miserable? Yeah. So by the way, I just mentioned 2 Maccabees. What's that about? First and Second, it's about the Maccabees. These are historical documents that are very interesting to read. They're not God-breathed books. They don't claim to be given by the Holy Spirit, but they are Jewish history that really connects that time between Malachi and Matthew. So if you were going to read some of those apocryphal books, Maccabees would probably be the most enjoyable and the most beneficial from a historical standpoint. Observations, questions, disagreements? Okay? All right, well, we got to get to an exit exam. Well, go ahead.
The thing where Herod gets eaten by worms or whatever, is that in chapter 12?
I think it is, isn't it? Peyton, isn't that in chapter 12?
Yep.
Yeah, at the end of the chapter? Yes, Luke. Okay.
Where did you find those Maccabee documents?
Yeah, you can find them online. That'd be the easiest. I thought about bringing a copy, but I only had so much room. But it's in the series of documents called the Apocryphal, mostly between Malachi and Matthew.
Okay.
But you can just type up that word, which you'll have in your notes, online and start reading them. Okay? Yes, Brian?
I know First and Second Maccabees are like part of the Apocrypha, but a lot of times the Third and Fourth Maccabees are like considered pseudepigrapha. What would you think about those three?
Yeah. Now, he's just throwing something at you. He's just trying to stall so you guys don't have to take the test, by the way. So, First and Second Maccabees are considered accurate historical documents. When he used this big word, pseudepigrapha, that's considered false writing. And sometimes there might be some historical correctness to it, but a lot of times you're wondering about who the real author is and what their incentives are and motivations in writing. I haven't read Third and Fourth, so I can't comment on that. Okay? But you're looking at different levels of historical reliability and also looking at authorship are the two areas you're considering there. Good question. Okay? So one more Herod, and then we've got to get to work. Where would we read about another Herod, Agrippa number 2, in the book of Acts?
Acts 24.
Okay, it's not 24, I don't think. Maybe it's in 24.
25.
I would guess 25, all right. And I would guess 26. And who was the guy who said, you've almost, in a short time, you've almost persuaded me.
Felix.
Who said that?
Agrippa.
That's Agrippa. Yeah, you'd think Felix or Festus, and yet... Festus has got this situation on his hand. He's got this guy named Paul, and Paul's innocent, and he doesn't know what to tell the emperor when he sends Paul to the emperor, so he's looking for somebody else. Does that sound like a situation? Somebody else to help him to figure out what to say about Paul when he sends him to the emperor. So Agrippa's visiting. By the way, what's Agrippa's sister's name? You kind of noticed him.
Bernice.
Yeah. You see, in some of those cases, I didn't tell you that they married their niece. But in this case, he looks like he's living with Bernice. I don't know if you guys can figure that out, but it's pretty disgusting. Okay? So here's King Agrippa number 2, and he is listening to Paul, and he knows the scriptures, he knows Jewish custom, he knows about the Messiah. And he says, well, you've almost convinced me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I wish you'd be altogether a Christian, except for these bonds that's around my ankles and my wrists sending me to Rome. So those are the Herods. Now you got them, right? Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, and Philip, and Herod Agrippa, Acts 12, and Herod Agrippa number 2, Acts 25 and 26. You see how that bridge comes to bring us to Jesus and then to his disciples? Yes, Peyton.
So I don't want to go down a rabbit hole.
That's okay.
But I was wondering what the motive behind the question, would thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Was it like incredulous? Like, are you serious?
Yeah, it's really hard to read that. It's really hard. Man, you've almost convinced me to be a Christian. you're trying to convince me to be a Christian. It's really hard to read that. I don't know what the motive. And the problem is in print, you can't really hear the inflection of his voice.
Okay.
So,
I was just curious.
Yeah, we just don't know for sure. I think he's pretty convinced. I think he's feeling like he's on the hot seat, kind of like Felix and Festus did.
Okay.
Okay, yes, sir.
I mean, can we look at his later response in this chapter and the next where he keeps Paul alive? I mean, if it was a, you almost persuaded me, Paul, go be executed.
That's right.
Or would it be more, well, I want to hear you again,
yeah,
so maybe we can speak more about it.
Yeah, and you see kind of that with Felix and Festus.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they'd just turned Paul loose, what would have happened? You know, if they say, okay, you're free to go. Who's been hungry for quite a while because 40 of them had said we're not going to eat
the
again
Jews
until he's dead?
Kill him.
As soon as they got out, the Jews were going to kill him. Best, safest place Paul could be was in that Roman prison. God was protecting him. God was getting him to Rome. Now, it probably wasn't the way Paul thought he would get on the airline and fly to Rome, but God's getting him to Rome. Yes, sir.
Verse 32:26 says, then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
That's right, right. And he seems benevolent to me. He seems to really care about what's happening to Paul. So, and again, as you read context, you get that picture. All right, well, we've delayed long enough, so I'm going to make sure we get about 3 copies per row. Ethan, you can pass these out. Clay, and you're going to team up at least in twos. You younger guys, if you think somebody can help you, just come over and join them.
Yo, do you have a scary red marker?
I've got 3 more, and Elijah, if you need a writing utensil, they're up here. Dang. You might not be able to see them. They're in camo.
Need one more here.
Okay. Yeah, you need one? Okay.
Wow.
Well, I wasn't planning to give everybody one. You guys have a little bit. No, I've got enough copies. Here you go. All right, this row, you guys are going to answer the first section. You're going to answer the first 8. Second row, you're going to answer the various...
yeah, we have 4.
Yeah, you're going to answer the identifying characteristics of the Jewish sects. And we're not going to do, you can put an X through the next one, the capital cities. And then Lucas, your role, you've got a pretty tough one. You've got name the rulers. Okay? All right. And you back resource people. All right. Isaiah and company. And Elijah and Matthias. You've got the second page.
No, we're all working.
You've got the second. Yeah, you guys all working together. And I want you to do the 5 periods, the 5 empires, and also those last ones where you do the chronological. So you're on the second page. And you got to tell me who comes first between Syria and Rome.
We're supposed to work as a row.
Second. Just said together. So, hey, Mr. Allen, do you have another paper?
What section do you have?
Thank you.
We're on number 1.
Yeah, good. And then let those guys.
I mean, you need two to work together.
Is there like a specific definition you're looking for?
Yeah,
like
real short.
Kind of explain what it is.
No, like, just real short definition. You know, Septuagint. What's that? Greek Bible. Greek Old Testament. Yeah. Just do it quickly.
Those are the Pharisees.
Yeah, we're going to share. You guys get your answers, and we'll share other people's answers. Okay, what's your second?
It's like Hebrew translation.
Yeah, right.
You guys have another fun one.
Yeah, but they haven't
converted the resurrection process.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sadducees were like God lives with people who don't see it as well. And then they didn't go
with probably more than he did.
Resurrection.
synagogue.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Sabbath meeting place.
Is it only on the Sabbath?
So,
seems like a predominant thing. They met, I don't know if they met at other times as well, but they certainly met on the Sabbath. The point depending on the synagogue is it's a Jewish gathering place. We know that one. Against, I think we're guessing on others. What's Hellenistic? I think if you can give me a chapter.
Think
in Acts. That's right, Acts 6. The Hellenistic widows.
They're
Greek speaking Jews. Very good definition.
Because they're really like Jews.
Okay, so he said Kyle. This is someone who's not a Jew.
Not a Jew.
Jews abroad.
Maccabee a person then, like the Jewish
people. Yeah, it's actually a name of a movement.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like a person, like
yeah,
a
no, you
movement
got
named
the,
after a person.
You got the Hasmoneans, that's their kind of family name. But this is a guerrilla warfare that fights off the Syrians in the invasion. Military. Okay, Lucas, are you and Luke y'all helping each other? Good.
Monica.
Yeah. Okay, and then so Pharisees were basically the exact opposite. They were
go ahead and move to something else. Go ahead and go ahead to the bottom of the back page and see if you guys can do that.
Back page. Or just like the whole back page?
No, just the bottom. Where put the following events in the correct chronological order.
Okay.
You have to read all of them first.
He said they were like monks.
You got three more minutes, guys. If you finished your section, go ahead and move to another section.
That's the first one. Nebuchadnezzar's number one. Alexander, I guess next. Two.
That's the Greek language, common Greek language. K-O, coin. Coin with an E. Sure, I want you to do up where it says put the empires into correct chronological order. You got those all done? Good. All right. Guys, we're going to share our answers. All right. Go ahead and listen up. Thank you. Are you going to share answers? The Septuagint is what?
The Greek,
Greek translation of the Hebrew. Excellent. All right. A God-fearer is a
Gentile
who believes in God but has not yet been converted. What's a converted Gentile?
Proselyte.
What's a synagogue?
The Jewish
place. Place where the Jews met together to worship. And a Hellenist. What is a Hellenist?
Greek-speaking Jews.
Greek-speaking Jews, like Acts 6. A Gentile?
Not a Jew.
Somebody who's not a Jew. All right. Maccabee?
Movement to free Jews from Syria.
Maccabee were those military guerrilla warfare guys who said, we're not going to let the Syrians run our country, and we're going to run them out. And, of course, we had Judas the Hammer. And then the lights that are relit in the temple comes to create the Feast of Hanukkah, Feast of Lights, Feast of Dedication, of which Jesus participated. All right. Next one. Given identifying characteristics of each of these religious sects, the Essenes,
They were like monks.
Yeah, that's good. They're like monks. They're cave dwellers. They're out of here. They're going to separate from society. All right, the Pharisees?
Conservative.
Strict conservative, trying to do exactly what God wants them to do. The problem was they made some extra rules.